To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcast and join me for the story behind the song.
Tour set, pop!
You know what is just so shocking and surprising is that we both have been stanning BTS for quite a while now, mm-hmm. and we are on our 70th episode, and neither of us have been to Big Hit Entertainment's official website.
What the fuck? I didn't
that
even know it existed.
Me.
I never even tried to look at it. Ever.
I mean, there was, I guess, no real reason to, but for the producers episode, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to look up like Big Hit Entertainment's official website. And I was just completely blown away by it because this website, it just looks expensive and it's just incredible. If you guys have not gone to Big Hit Entertainment's official website, you should. It's bighitcorp.com. But like, it is so well laid out, and like the information that they provide on this website is just incredible. And like they give statistics and they like talk about how many employees they have, and like the date of founding is like formally put on the front page of this website. Mm-hmm. It's just so incredible.
Yeah. 250 employees does not seem like that big to me. Like that's for what they do, this is still a relatively like small company, but I was just blown away at the information on the site. Like we never even fucking have heard about the other CEO. I mean, yeah. I haven't, right?
I haven't. I sent you a Snapchat. Like, how have I not known that Big Hit has another CEO, like a co-CEO with Bang Chi-yuk, and his name is Lin Zo-yoon, and we'll talk about him more in this episode. But just, I learned a lot by going to this website, and I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, love it. Go check it out.
Yeah, definitely go check it out. It's really cool.
So by the way, welcome back, guys.
Yeah, welcome back.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yes, welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is too. But disclaimer, this is a comedy fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though. So if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some Park Jimin with his hand in the air and his hip exposed is like the best fucking thing in the whole world.
This is from Wimbley Night 2, right?
Oh, yes.
That he did this.
Really like every, he does it almost every like concert. I just can't, I'll never be over it.
The skin on his hip is showing just a little bit more than usual. And it's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in.
Or I still cannot fathom how BTS started their career recording in a garage, and now they have sold out 8 stadiums across the globe.
Fuck. You're like not even exaggerating recording in a garage.
No, I'm not. That is the truth. Like, that's factual.
Yeah. So if you guys are here to talk, you know, about all of those things, then you're in the right place. In today's episode, we are talking about the big hit producers. We have wanted to talk about them for a long time. Suddenly we're at episode 70 and we haven't talked about them. And it's truly
blown away that we have gotten to our 70th episode and not have done an episode on the producers yet.
Yeah, because they're really the backbone and maybe foundation of BTS, and in the, like, especially with the music creation process, they're so important. Mm-hmm. So we're so excited to talk about them today.
Yeah, this is going to be an incredible episode. Mm-hmm. Very research heavy, but we loved every moment of it.
Yeah, we really enjoyed the research, both of us. Like, it was very exciting and we're super happy to tell you guys about it. But before we get into it, we have to thank you, wonderful, amazing armies, for being here and for supporting us. If you are a fan of this show and you want to show your support for us, you can do that by telling people about this podcast, by writing a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts as well. And if you want to go above and beyond and show us a little more support, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. And we just are super grateful that you all are here listening. And a special shout out to all of our patrons. You guys are really incredible.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Okay, let's get into our content of the week. Mm-hmm. And we both kind of have the same ones to talk about. But first, I'm going to share just the Festa photos that were released. Mm-hmm. I love them so much. Like, when they came out, I sent it to you and I was like, yo, this is going to be my content of the week, because I just love the concept behind them. Like, I think it amazingly represents each member's like different style and their own songs and like what they bring. And I loved it.
Yeah, and even their personalities a little bit, like their actual true personalities, and seeing the contrast between two different members, like, repetitively over and over. It's
Jimin
just a
and
really
Yoongi,
neat concept.
Like, that contrast, or, like, oh my gosh, like, so much. We could talk about it for literally 20 minutes, but
I think they had a Yoongi and Namjoon one, too, and that one I was really struck by.
Yeah.
So my content of the week is also your content of the week, because when this happened, you actually sent it to me and I was like, content of the week. Like, well, I'm already putting it in the doc. I'm working on the doc right now. So, but it's definitely both of ours. It is the Young Forever secret mission at Wembley Stadium from, I believe, Night 2. Was it Night 2?
Yeah.
So it was a secret mission to surprise BTS by having all of ARMY there at the concert to sing the chorus of Young Forever right after the Mint and right before the last song, Microcosmos.
Like, literally, BTS is getting ready for Microcosmos to start playing. Mm-hmm. And then the screens change and say ARMY sing and put up, you know, like, video footage of BTS and lyrics on top and bottom of the chorus of Young Forever.
Yeah.
And oh my God, this moment was just, I cried. I cried watching it.
Like, I definitely teared up watching it. And it was emotional because you could see that the members were actually really just surprised and shocked to be hearing it. But it's also Young Forever. That song gets me, and the chorus of it too. And I think it just puts everyone in their feels. So for BTS to be up there, and they're like, I think they get just as emotional as we do when we have to say goodbye. So they're already like getting to that point, and then ARMY surprises them by singing the chorus of Young Forever at the second night of the largest stadium that they have historically ever sold out. It's just, it is a historical moment, and it was so impactful and powerful and incredible.
Yes. I don't think that I'll ever be over it. Like, I just, I love that that happened so much. I don't know if I told you, but I actually, like, I was watching a live stream, and I was already, like, pre-decided to go on a hike before I found a live stream on accident on Twitter. Like, I was not looking.
On accident?
I wasn't looking. I was just scrolling through Twitter, like, getting ready to go on the hike. And so I went on the hike anyways, because I was like, I plan to go. I'm going. Like, I want to go tire my dog out and anyways, and explore. I went to some new trails beside the point. But
at Swope Park?
No. Well, yeah, at Swope Park. But it was, like, at a different part of it. It was, like, at a nature reserve part of Swope Park. Like, it wasn't the normal trails that you and I had been to. So anyways, when I got back, I caught the end of the live stream. Like, I caught this, I just caught like this part and Microcosmos, and I just, wow, I couldn't believe, like, that it was happening right then. Like, I can't, all of the people who were there, who got to experience that, like, in person.
And be a part of it.
And be a part of that, like, wow. That's, like, one of those moments that we, like, as a group, collectively, we're going to look back and be like, wow, that was really special.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was historic. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Okay. Well, you want to get into this episode?
Yeah, let's talk about these producers.
Big hit producers. All right. So BTS and Big Hit, they have collaborated with many producers even across the globe. But there is a set of Big Hit Entertainment producers that consistently help write, produce, and compose the majority of BTS songs alongside with the BTS members themselves. The producers, however, that we're going to cover today are those kind of like main group of people, which consists of Bang Shiyuk, P-Dog, Supreme Boy, Slow Rabbit, and Adora. And I saw that from some interview, Slow Rabbit actually coined their nickname as the Big Hit Family.
Oh my God, I love that. I mean, as we will get into in this episode, they really are. And they really, I mean, a lot of them have worked together for so long. And anyways.
Yeah, like pre-debut.
Yeah. So we used a ton of different sources. I think one of the main things that we, or the main reasons why we put off this episode for so long was because we felt like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so difficult to research. It's going to be heavy. It's going to be hard. And we do have a lot of sources, so we just want to talk about them. Obviously, Big Hit Corporation website, discog.com, cultscene.com with a K, allkpop.com, Wikipedia pages for Big Hit Entertainment, Bang Shiyuk, and Women in South Korea, ARMY's Amino, users Bambi Gone, Cherry Bay Tay, which is such a cute name, and Kimmy, and also a YouTube video called A Guide to BTS Producers by Junie Toon, an article from Billboard.com, and Adora's Twitter, as well as article from the Korea Times, and also our friend Grace, who listens to the podcast, but she has definitely become our friend. She so kindly assisted with us in Korean translations and pronunciations on this episode. And she even sent us she emailed us a sound bite.
Went above and beyond for this.
Oh my God. I thought she was going to, I was just expecting, I DM'd her on Twitter just text me back like romanization pronunciations mm-hmm. or something. That's all I was expecting. And she, Bethany, went out to her car to get a better acoustic sound so it sounded more professional.
No,
I'm telling
didn't.
You, she did.
Did she tell you this on Twitter?
She did. She's so amazing. And wow. She sent us, you guys, the most amazing little clip of her pronouncing their names. And we hope that we can do it correct. And we just really want to thank you, Grace. You're incredible.
Okay. So we are going to start with Bang Shiyuk, also known as Bang PD, Hitman Bang, Bang PD Nim, and Mr. Bang.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born on August 9th, 1972. He's currently age 46. He has some social media accounts. The only one that we could really find for sure was Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he is at Hitman B. And as you all probably already know, Hitman Bang is the founder of Big Hit Entertainment, which was founded on February 4th, 2005. He's the head executive producer, head of label sector, and co-CEO of Big Hit, alongside with Lin Zoyun, who is also the co-CEO. Which, just a little bit of background on Lin Zoyun, he's the head of the business sector of Big Hit, and he joined the company back in 2010. So I feel like since he's the head of the business sector, I think Big Hit got to the point where they were making so much money and whatnot. And like, it just became, I think, too much for Bang PD to,
right,
you know, handle it on his own. Yeah.
For him to work in the music in the capacity that he wanted to, and with the artists in the capacity that he wanted to, and also run the business. That makes a lot of sense.
I also don't know if he has any prior experience or education on business, but I feel like for something like this, you definitely need someone like that to be a part of the group.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
So Lin Zoyun's job description, he's, quote, in charge of global business, multimedia content and IP business, and platform business. So he definitely is a big contributor to Big Hit Entertainment, but not necessarily on the producer side at all. But I just kind of wanted to give him a little bit of a shout out because we have never talked about him before and we really didn't find out about him until recently.
Yeah. And I feel like that is just a massive injustice and oversight by us for so long that we just had, I mean, we never even thought to look. So there he is. We just want to list some honors and awards, some of them, not all of them, that Bang Shiyuk has. So he was selected as one of 2018 Billboard's 73 International Power Players. Wow. He was selected as 2018's Variety's International Music Leader, selected as the 2019 Billboard Music's New Power Generation 25 Top Innovators. He won Producer of the Year at Mnet's Asian Music Awards in 2018, won the Producer Award at both Soul Music Awards and Genie Awards in 2018 as well. And finally, he also won the Best Songwriter Award at Melon in 2006 and 2016. So, I mean, that's not
just
even
some.
Yeah.
That's not all of them.
No, those are like his most recent, but he was, he's been in the game for a long time. He's been in the business for a long time. And he had other groups before BTS.
Yeah. And so we're going to get into a little bit of his history here because I found this to be really interesting because I was always curious to why Bang PD was just able to separate himself from the K-pop industry and just start this company on his own, which I think many people do. But I'm curious to why he was so successful compared to like the other big three, you know, just being this like independent on its own company, which there's a lot of that, but like his just really blew up.
Right. Cause there's a lot of little small companies that like don't ever become big or like become super successful.
Yeah. And Big Hit Entertainment has made it really large, strongly because of BTS's success, but like even TXT has made a lot of success since their debut.
For sure.
So prior to BTS, the establishment of Big Hit, we're just going to cover here because it's really prominent for Bang PD, but he debuted as a composer while in college. So that's kind of like what he studied and what he aspired to be. Shortly after, he actually met Park Jin-young, which is JYP's CEO, which is one of the big three. Did not know this. I'm surprised I didn't know this.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. So they collaborated often and they partnered together as like a songwriting duo. And then shortly after that, Park ended up founding his own company, JYP Entertainment. And actually, Bang PD joined him as a composer and helped arrange and produce music for mm-hmm. JYP Entertainment.
Yeah.
And so these two together, they actually founded the first generation K-pop group G.O.D. Some of G.O.D.'s most famous songs, whose soundtrack was arranged by Bang himself, Mr. Bang, included the songs One Candle and Road. So this ended up being like a pretty successful first generation K-pop group for it being mm-hmm. just so fresh, so new. I mean, we're talking like late 1990s, early 2000s, really, really early 2000s.
For just to be starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, K-pop really isn't known at this point.
No.
It's somewhat known, like, especially, you know, internationally. Like, I think it was somewhat known in Korean culture, but, you know, I'm not sure about, like, internationally, just how well known it was.
Yeah.
So Bang Shiyuk's stage name, Hitman, actually originated from this period when G.O.D. enjoyed like the success of one of their country's best-selling and most popular boy bands of the early 2000s. So it ended up earning him and JYP, Mr. Parks, the reputation of like hitmakers. And wow. So that's where he got the nickname Hitman Bang.
I wonder if people call JYP Hitman Park. Like if they still do or, you know.
Yeah.
That's so interesting though. What mm-hmm. a fun
I
fact.
I just did not know that he had this history with Park Jin-young. I had no idea.
Yeah. I feel like maybe I've seen it floating around or like but I've never read anything concrete like that mm-hmm. said this until we were putting together this episode and I mm-hmm. looked at what like we had and. Yeah, I had no yeah. idea, but I guess it makes sense. Like, how are you going to...
It makes total sense.
It would be very difficult to just start out in the industry with nothing.
Yeah, like...
And no experience.
Completely irrelevant. No one knows you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At least, like, him starting his company, he's worked at a big, successful company and with mm-hmm. a very successful group at that point.
Mm-hmm. And so this is just one little additional fun fact that kind of... makes a lot more sense now knowing his involvement with JYP Entertainment. So in 2010, Big Hit and JYP signed a joint contract over some of their groups. And that is why, and like prior, like way prior pre-debut BTS, mm-hmm. you see them in some of the music videos from groups that were associated with JYP, including like 2AM. So if you go back yeah. and like, I mean, I had seen clips of this, like BTS members in other, you know, K-pop music videos, and I just never knew why that was ever a thing, but it's actually because there was a contract between Big Hit and JYP.
Wow, totally off topic, but, I mean, kind of on topic, but didn't didn't Hoseok, like, leave JYP to join Big Hit?
And I believe it was JYP, but I can't remember the group. Yeah.
And they had this joint contract. And we, at the time when we were talking about that in that episode, we were like, you know, I wonder if it like cost him anything to like break contract because we had talked about like pre-debut, like when idols were, you know, debuting, if they wanted to leave, they would have to like repay the company.
That was our trainee life episode that we talked about that.
Yeah.
That was a good episode. That was research heavy, but I loved that episode.
But like,
maybe he didn't have to because
they had like this joint contract. Maybe, you know, Bang PD was just like, hey, I want to put him in a group and mm-hmm. like let him come be a trainee over here. Like, it kind of seems like maybe Big Hit and JYP benefited off of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
At least
I could
early
totally
on.
See that. Yeah, yeah, it sounds like they wrote songs together. They definitely had worked together in the past and even had worked when JYP was established. So I could see that definitely happening. Like, I think they at least get along to some extent, I would assume.
Yeah.
But I don't
know. Big Hit Audition started in 2010 and he debuted his first boy group BTS in 2013. Mm-hmm. On every single album, Bang Ji-hyuk contributes two songs by either writing, producing and or composing or any combination. He has a large impact on BTS's music, especially in the early years. And I think also especially with like their message or like the topics that they're wanting to convey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think he has a huge say in BTS music to this day, but his involvement with the actual production of the music, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Like how much he contributes now.
Right. Because, I mean, it's a bigger company now and there's more things that he needs to be doing, but I do like, he definitely meets in with them and talks with them and like makes sure that they're doing okay. And anyways. Okay. So overall, Bang Ji-hyuk, Bang PD, Hitman Bang, all of his nicknames, Mr. Bang, he is both a leader and also one of just the main players in BTS's music.
He's the founder of Big Hit Entertainment.
Right.
Yeah, said. We had to talk about him first.
Right, obviously. So next up, we're going to talk about P-Dawg. And P-Dawg, he had to come second because he really is, we think, so, so important. And he's one who's been there since before BTS debuted.
So, and we really contemplated whether we wanted to put P-Dawg or Supreme Boy next, but just with how much P-Dawg has contributed, we just felt that we really should talk about him first.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he's done a lot for BTS and Big Hit.
So his real name is Kang Yo-won. His birth date is the 19th of September in 1983. So right now he's 34. He's a producer, songwriter, instrumentalist, vocalist, and engineer. So like a sound engineer. His studio, like the name of his studio where he produces, is called Dog Bounce. He has a few social media. He has Instagram, PDawg428, and his Twitter is at PPDawg. His overall production style is said to be more fast-tempoed. And we'll talk about that a little bit later when we talk about like the songs that he contributed to or is really known for. He has been associated with Big Hit and BTS since pre-debut. He was recruited by Bang Ji-hyuk through an internet cafe. We're not sure on the source on that, but that's just what we found.
We've seen that over and over, but the actual original source, we have no idea where it came from, so that may or may not be true.
Right. It might just
be interesting.
Like perpetuated interesting myth.
Yeah.
But he, so he's just been a main player from the beginning.
Yeah. So P-Dawg contributes to the majority of the songs on all of BTS's discography. He's also contributed to a lot of mixtapes, including J-Hope's Hope World, Yoongi's August D mixtapes, and even some of Namjoon's mixtapes as well. So not only has he contributed to BTS's music, he's contributed to the rap lines, individual mixtapes, and then also he's contributed to vocals in songs, including Mic Drop, Danger, and So What. So I need to go and find like a, what are those videos?
The hidden vocals.
The hidden vocals,
it's not, even though it's not hidden vocals, it's just the background vocals. Like if you have seven people plus sometimes producers and their vocals to work with, like there's going to be a lot of layering in there, you know? And that's so, like I would have never known that he was in those songs.
I wouldn't have either. And I just read that, you know, somewhere. And now I'm like curious to go and listen to hear what he sounds like. Cause I'm not entirely sure if I've ever heard him sing.
Right. We should find one and link it in the description.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. We should do that. So the awards that he has won 3 Best Producer Awards in 2018, including Gaon Chart Music Awards, Asian Artist Awards, and Mnet Asian Music Awards. He also won Composer of the Year at the Gaon Music Chart Awards in 2018. And we found this really incredible article from the Korean Times, who said that prior to the award ceremony, it was sometime in 2018, some award show, but the Korea Music Copyright Association announced that the recipients of their royalties awards, in which they honor the composers and lyricists who have earned the most in music royalties in 2018.
Yeah, and he was obviously a recipient of one of those awards. So he earned the most. He was the first winner. He earned the most royalties from his music in 2018.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow. Like, he makes good shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And we looked up all of the producers for this episode, to see if there was another Korea Times article on any of them. And like, we kind of really struggled to find any. So the fact that they wrote this really thorough, well-written article about P-Dog just like had us get like so much respect for him. Just so much respect.
Yeah, the dude, like, he knows what he's doing. He obviously makes great songs. We're going to talk about some of his most, like, some of the songs that we like the most that he's made, and just kind of talk about that right now, because he, I mean, we were just blown away. Like, after reading that article, I was like, dude, he's really one of the top producers in K-pop, and like, he's working with BTS. That's crazy. Yeah. That's just super fortunate. So he's worked on DNA, Fake Love, and Idol. So those big three from the Love Yourself era. But he also he's really known for those fast tempoed kind of like hype songs. Yeah. Like We Are Bulletproof Part 2, No More Dream, Bapsay, Dope, pretty much all of their hit tracks.
Even going all the way back to like No More Dream, he has worked on.
Yes. I feel like all of the hit tracks, like really. But he's worked on like a few of the slower songs or more calm, but definitely like really popular ones, like 2-3. He's also on Spring
Just
Day. Just One Day. Yeah.
Obviously, he's multi-talented. He can write and produce all sorts of different kinds of music, but he is kind of known to be more heavily involved in the more upbeat, faster tempoed songs.
For sure. And definitely all of those that we know and keep coming back to and still listen to today in 2019.
Over and over and over. Before recording this episode, I watched and listened to Fake Love. And I'm like, wow, I miss Tier.
Oh my God, I miss Tier. Tier is so good.
It was too short.
Damn.
Tier was such a great era. Okay. Moving on, the next producer we're going to talk about is Supreme Boy. His real name is Shin Dong-yuk. He was born April 15th, 1994, so he's actually part of the 94 line, which I think makes a lot of sense when we get into some of the songs that he's worked on. The name for his studio is The Supreme Escape, which I think sounds really nice. Like, it just sounds great. But he has a couple of social media accounts as well. His Instagram is SupremeBoy_Core, K-O-R. His Twitter is @SupremeBoy94. So he is said to produce more of like the hip-hop and rap line songs, the more like strictly hip-hop kind of music. Like, he's heavily associated with the Cyphers. So those kinds of songs. He originally was a part of the BTS lineup, but actually decided to be a producer for Big Hit instead. So he kind of backed away from that trainee life and decided to just produce because it's what he truly loves to do.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah. Just we've gotten a more feel for Supreme Boy since doing this research. And I could see that he would just be much more a fan of like the producer life and the like underground hip hop rap scene. So Supreme Boy and RM actually have a long history together. I didn't really find any sources for this, but I have heard that they like were friends like maybe in high school around then or even before that. So they've known each other since before BTS, before Big Hit, and they actually really got to know each other through the underground hip hop scene. So Supreme Boy, he was a part of a rap crew called DNH, which is shortened for Day Nap Yup, which translates to Great Southern Joseon, which is Korea's like last dynasty, but Great Southern Joseon Hip Hop Cooperative, which is a mouthful. Bulletproof Boy Scouts.
It's a mouthful like, in English, mouthful. But I don't think it's a mouthful in Korean.
Probably not. Well, no, yeah. No.
Not at all.
So as far as we know, this group is no longer active, but there's like some other theories that it's like evolved. But on cultscene.com, a blog from January 2015, written by Alexis Hodayan Gastelum, she said that RM was associated or part of Day Nap Yup for a little bit, but was rarely a part of their actual music because he was so busy with BTS.
That's interesting that he was a part of that group, or that he was set. It's said that Namjoon was a part of that group too, because that's not really something that, like, I wouldn't say that anyone is talking about a song that he put out with them, or that I've really necessarily ever seen that.
And I've seen like pictures of this group. I've heard like some of their music. And when I listen to it, it's like, it's intense and it's like true underground hip hop raw music.
Yeah.
And I do believe that Namjoon was a part of that scene at some point, but where he is now and where he is today, it is really hard for me to imagine that he was a part of this group. But he was.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that he really actually was a part of this group. Like, he's had pictures with them, including J-Hope. J-Hope is, he wasn't a part of the group, but he like hung out with the people from that group, the members.
Yeah. It's just a totally different scene, or like a totally different vibe from where he's at today. But I definitely think, like, you know, around debut time, maybe after debut, like, I think like that's totally would have been like right up his alley.
So Supreme Boy is also a part of a hip hop group that's like an underground crew that's called Rock Bottom, which we've seen on like Army Amino and on Reddit posts that Rock Bottom is potentially DNH just rebranded, that now it's got like different members and that it's just kind of evolved. So it's also rumored that this group is on a hiatus due to busy schedules. But all of this kind of stuff is just like, it's really hard to find strong factual sources that support a lot of these things and claims. But from what I've gathered, they probably are on a hiatus. I'm sure Supreme Boy is very busy with just Big Hit Entertainment.
For sure. But also, yeah, like it would make sense for like that whole, these are very like far out theories, maybe like we don't have credible places from where they come from, but it does make sense. Like if, I mean, just naturally over time, people have different responsibilities there. You know, people go in and out of the group. They change their group name to maybe like, you know, talk about different things or whatever. Makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So since pre-debut, Supreme Boy has been one of Big Hit Entertainment's main producers, writers, composers, mixing engineer, and recording engineers. He is also a rapper, and of course we know that he had a few verses in songs such as Cypher Part 3 and J-Hope's Hangsan, which is one of my favorite songs. That song is so fucking good. It's
so hype.
It's so hype. He continues, I must really like Supreme Boy songs, like sidetrack, because
love Cypher Part 3.
I love Cyphers, you know, like I name those songs as like favorites in that picking our favorite episode.
Singling out songs, I think is what we titled it.
Wow. So
when in doubt, we always go with alliteration. Right. We love alliteration. If it you haven't noticed, so ship series, fanfic files.
It's like a thing.
Run replay.
God. Okay. Still to this day, Supreme Boy continues to produce and write his own music. He also occasionally posts songs to his SoundCloud. Some of his songs include KFC, Photoshop, and Hawaii. And we will link his SoundCloud in the description as well if you want to check out his SoundCloud.
Have you listened to any of these songs?
No, I did not get a chance. But you told me that I should. And you also told me that they were very hype. I'm so sorry.
They were intense.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I could be wrong. The KFC song, like the little picture for it was like, what is that guy's name from KFC?
Colonel Sanders?
Yeah. It was like him either smoking a cigar or a blunt.
What the fuck? Like, that was,
I just loved it. But I feel like that really kind of gives us the feel of like Supreme Boy's personality.
Oh yeah. That's all style. I need to know. So all right, let's talk about some of those songs.
Some of the songs that he's helped write and produce. And truly this is, he's been a part of this since the beginning, you know, especially when it comes to BTS and just, he was almost in BTS. So he has written and helped produce some songs like No More Dream, No, Cypher Part 1, Cypher Part 2, Cypher Part 3. He even helped a little bit with like intro Boy Meets Evil, which I thought was interesting. So this kind of this Hobie Supreme Boy collaboration makes me feel like they're pretty close too. I know that Supreme Boy and Namjoon are fairly close, but like on Hobie's first mixtape, like he even featured Supreme Boy.
Right. I would agree with that for sure. I think like Supreme Boy's influence is definitely on a few of Hobie's songs. And I feel like we've seen them hanging out enough that we just know like they are for like legit friends.
Yeah. But really what we've gathered from his style is he's like hip hop to the max. Underground rap scene. That is a big part of his production style.
And I guess we should all go look up his SoundCloud and definitely listen to KFC.
Well, actually, of the three that we mentioned, KFC, Photoshop, and Hawaii, Hawaii was my favorite. And then when I went to his Twitter account, I'm pretty sure his like picture for his profile is like the Hawaii background. Oh.
Yeah. I also just wanted to add that he, just to talk about some of the newer songs that he worked on, he worked on Persona, Love Yourself Answer. He worked on all the Love Yourself albums. He worked on Fake Love and Airplane Part 2. I mean, he worked on a lot of like bigger songs too. Like he's in there, but sometimes like if you look in the albums, he's listed like closer to the end of the producer. So if it's not like one of the super hype songs, I'm not sure that he's working on it in as big of a capacity.
Yeah.
So before moving on from Supreme Boy, we just have to mention, just because I feel like we'd be kind of hiding information if we didn't mention.
Yeah, we'd be like beating around the bush of some controversial topics that have come up a fair amount.
Which I feel like
ARMY. Yeah.
Yeah. We've like been beating around the bush the whole time that we've been talking about him. Just like, so there have been some scandals around Supreme Boy, and that's why some ARMYs and K-pop fans feel unfavorably towards him. His previous rap crew, DNH, has been related to drug use and scandals, and he also produced a song for the rapper Iron that contained extremely foul messages, including things like rape. And not that like Supreme Boy knew what the lyrical content of the song was going to be when he like produced it for him. But like, you know, he might have been working on the production after the lyrics like are already in there.
Yeah. And You guys can send us a message if you know, but in terms of like the production of this song for Iron, I don't know if he was involved in the lyrics or if he was just involved in like the musical arrangement and composing of the song. So maybe he wasn't involved in the lyrics and didn't know.
Can you really be like, well, he didn't know? You know, or like,
when
I mean, even if,
it.
Even
yeah,
if
like
he's
he worked on it and listened to it. Yeah.
Right. Like he would have to, I'm sure, listen if he was working on it, like producing at a high level in that song, like where he's
giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I just have to like argue the other side too, because I know people are going to be saying that like he could have been producing it after he like the lyrics already in it and he knows what's in it and he decided to still work on it and finish it. Like, can you really separate yourself and be like, well, this was just my beat and my sounds that I wanted to put on it, you know, like, I don't know.
No, I get that. Yeah, definitely.
But just to add on, Iron was sentenced to a year in prison back in October of 2018 for assaulting and blackmailing an ex-girlfriend. So just not good things to be associated with. And no, like, we're not saying that Supreme Boy did any of these things himself, but there's definitely controversy behind this and people have their own feelings and opinions about it. And we had to talk about it and just,
I feel that we needed to mention it. My personal opinion, I feel like I think this goes for everyone. We just don't know him personally. It sounds like, you know, it would be unfair for me to make such an extreme judgment towards him. Like, I just completely hate him or whatever. Like, he's been associated with this when we really don't know the true detail behind a lot of it.
And it's impossible for us to know the true detail.
Exactly. Yeah. But I will say hearing these things and researching these things was kind of discouraging. And we were like,
yeah,
kind of crappy. But
for sure.
I will say this as an opinion. I feel that he maybe and does hang with like a rougher crowd, or has in the past at least, and then has become associated with bad people.
Right. And I will say, like, I think that the BTS members who we talk about being friends with them, Hoseok, Namjoon, they both have very high standards. The type of people that they are, and you know, like who they truly are, I just don't believe that they would be friends with, not just like, I understand if it's a work thing, like if you just they happen to work, they work on your music, you work with them and you have no control over that, but they're friends with him and I just can't imagine that they would be friends with him if he really was like this awful terrible like person that some people
make it out to be. I completely agree with that. And to like even go farther, he's still a part of Big Hit Entertainment. He still helps produce and write and compose all of these songs. So obviously even people like Bang Shiyuk has some sort of like favor towards him and they want to keep him around. I feel that if he was a bad influence or was a crappy person or whatever, that he wouldn't fit within that 250 people team of Big Hit Entertainment.
And maybe, just again, to be the devil's advocate, maybe that's giving this company too much credit. You know, maybe it's like a, like companies don't follow moral standards. They're a company, they're a business. Ultimately, they're making money. And so I don't know if we should give the company Big Hit the benefit of the doubt to not have like, to only have good people working for them, or this idealistic thing that everybody is going to have like this, these core values that we see in BTS. Like I love the idea of that. But like when I often think things like that, people tell me I'm being too unrealistic. So
I feel that Big Hit, for how large of a company it has become, to only have 250 employees,
they can be selective.
Yeah, I feel that they are selective.
Yeah.
And that they are only picking the best of the best.
Mm-hmm. And I will also say, I brought this up during research, but Namjoon has had a problematic past with lyrics and he's had to apologize. He has apologized for lyrics, and him and BTS, they talked to women's studies professors and they read books and they educated themselves on the things that they should be saying and doing to just be a normal person, you know, mm-hmm. of like what yeah. I think everyday people expect like yeah. you to say and whatever yeah. act. But
we're talking tangent, so but much about this. I even have to add like even like Hobie, just thinking back to like pre-debut, like we have seen Hobie wearing like marijuana leaf sweaters and like shirts that say keep one rolled. And, you know, like the whole drug use controversy that has been associated with Supreme Boy, like in Korea, things yeah. like marijuana will get you in prison.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me. But, you know, like it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, like my kind of point was that Namjoon has had the platform and the reason to come out and like apologize for mm-hmm. wearing his hair in dreads or for having like problematic lyrics. But I don't think Supreme Boy has necessarily A, been afforded that opportunity, or B, really needed mm-hmm. to, because he's not really in the spotlight. So he may
he's
have
not directly
changed completely.
The source of these things. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. he may not even be associated with those people anymore. And he, you know, even though his music style is like this heavy underground, like really hardcore style, that doesn't mean that his lyrics are like foul and like so negatively, disgustingly themed, you know,
yeah,
like they can,
yeah.
anyways, huge. We just had to address and talk about yeah. this. So if
we didn't have many notes for this, we just kind of just went on a whole
I like
rant
it,
about
but
it.
If we went yeah. on, it's just because we wanted to be thorough and give a full understanding. And I mean, neither of us really like to pass really harsh judgment on people. Like, it's just not fair. And
yeah, it just wouldn't be fair to make that kind of judgment when you really don't know them.
There's really not a lot of information about this. And, you know,
and there's not a lot of information about all of these producers, which is just really shocking.
It's difficult.
But also really kind of cool, because I think it is a part of like Big Hit Entertainment trying to keep the personal lives of their employees like separate from yeah. the spotlight.
I mean, how weird would it be if you worked for a company and just random people in another country were trying to look up information about you? Like, granted, yeah. you are producing like art, so people are going to know your name, but still. Mm-hmm. So that was Supreme Boy. Overall, I mean, I love his music. We can mm-hmm. talk either way about background, but I think that he's definitely a big part in some of those more hype songs and a mm-hmm. good friend to the members mm-hmm. of BTS.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Slow Rabbit.
Yeah. I've come to really love Slow Rabbit after
Me
this
too.
Research, even though there's not that much on him.
I was literally just going to say the same exact thing. I really have come to love him. Yeah. So his birth name is Kwang Do-hyung, and he was born on June 8th in 1991, although there really is no clear source for this. The name of his studio is the Carrot Express, which I fucking love.
The best. The best fucking studio name.
He's just
for
like
Slow Rabbit.
I just love how they have like themes like with their producer name and their studio name. And this is just truly one of the best. Mm-hmm. His social media Instagram is SlowRabbit_NO1. And then his Twitter is SlowRabbit_NO1. Again, so I guess he's number one. So based on his name, it is said that Slow Rabbit produces a more slower paced and emotion filled songs. He has participated in almost all of BTS's songs. The list was crazy. I was typing it out earlier and I just kept scrolling on the Army Amino page and I was holy shit. Like, I thought I'd be typing like, you know, literally it was like 100 songs. Like, it was so many yeah. songs.
Yeah.
So anyways, he helped Yoongi on his mixtape, and he's also been with Big Hit since before BTS debuted. For this reason, because he's been there so long and he works on so many songs, sometimes people call him the eighth member of BTS, which I just think is really cute. Like, that's kind of
that's
like
so
giving
special
him respect.
And sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's because even after just doing this research, you and I both kind of like fell in love with him. We were like, wow, mm-hmm. I just love Slow Rabbit, because he does give off that kind of like genuine, just so grateful yes. attitude for where he is and what he's been able to be a part of. And I think that's the similar attitude that BTS has.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why he's called the eighth member of BTS, because he just has that same attitude.
Totally,
and he's just
as
heavily involved in the music.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We also have to talk about the friendship that has been cultivated between himself, P-Dog, and Bang PD. Mm-hmm. Because we know they have all been working collectively for BTS's success for years, since at least 2012, right? They might have been mm-hmm. all of them with the company before that, but they've been collectively working on BTS for at least since then. They all also hang out outside of work. I found some pictures of them enjoying Korean fried chicken and beer together. Mm. And they were clearly like a little tipsy. Like people had like memed some of the pictures. They were like, mm-hmm. Somebody posted the picture on Twitter, like one of them, and was like, tag yourself, I'm Bang PD. And they all had like very different faces on. It was great, but like they're totally.
Oh, you have to show me this picture.
I'll have to find it again.
The eating Korean fried chicken and like beer together, that's like
it's a thing.
Some sort of tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a, we're super friendly, let's hang out, from what I have acquiesced from K-dramas. That's, you know, about what I got. It's like a comfort
Hobie
thing.
And Yugi's
and, yeah.
love story.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Some shippers.
Right.
Can I make it a single episode without talking about ships?
No. So another thing, the good things about Slow Rabbit just keep going on and on, because he's also known to throw surprise birthday parties for other big hit staff. Like this is a thing that he's known for. And like,
sweetie,
he doesn't just do the same thing every time, you know, he does like this thing for her and this thing for him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just, that is so sweet and so caring yeah. and thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
So something really special that I think ARMY like just knows is mm-hmm. when BTS won Artist of the Year for the first time at MAMA, there was this video of Slow Rabbit and he was crying. Like, I mean, he was really all of us in that moment. He was like wiping the tears away from his eyes and just kind of like, but
yeah.
I mean,
and he's like, get away. Like he's like, turn the camera away. Like he was full tears. And what makes this so special is that like he in real time was watching them mm-hmm. at the MAMA Awards, and to see that like the music he had written for like Wings. I
oh,
think this is
God.
When they,
yes.
I think they won this for Blood, Sweat and Tears, that era, Wings era. And like, he just, I mean,
he lost
full
it.
Tears
oh, yeah.
just streaming down his face. And to see like the BTS members go up there and they're crying too when they won this award, that just goes to show how heavily involved he is in their music, how heavily involved he is like emotionally
yeah,
with BTS
them and yeah.
his work and what he produces. Wow. Like, I mean, that was an award for not only BTS, but I think for him as well, mm-hmm. because he's so heavily involved in their music.
Yeah, that was definitely a big yeah. win for all of the producers. But I think it was special that we got to see like Slow Rabbit's mm-hmm. kind of reaction and really just the love that and the joy that he must have had, like mm-hmm. so much mm-hmm. and the
yeah.
I don't know, I mean, BTS was so surprised by that. I can't imagine how he felt there, like experiencing that, watching it happen, you know. Yeah. God.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting into just a few songs that he has produced, like we mentioned before, he has more involvement in like slower tempoed songs. So he helped with the production of 4 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
So Far Away, A Supplemental Story, You Never Walk Alone, Outro House of Cards,
God.
We're all suckers for, don't deny it.
So true.
He also helped with like Stigma, Epilogue, Young Forever,
Love Is Not
Autumn
Over.
Leaves. Reflection, Rain. I mean, it just goes on and on. Butterfly, I have to give that one a shout out too, because that is just such a great song. But he don't laugh at me.
You skip that song every time it comes on.
I give it credit. I give it credit. It is a really good song. It is just not my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't. But my Spotify is just so persistent that I need to love Butterfly. So it comes on
every day.
I turn BTS on shuffle.
Yeah. I think that
it
song
sucks.
Comes on
I mean,
every
it
single
happens
day.
Every day.
Yeah.
It is a good song. I think I'm just worn out on it.
You know, like all of the BTS ballads that I love so much, like these, those are slow rabbit songs, you know, like Epilogue Young Forever
Lost.
That they just did
Lost.
At the concert. Lost. Oh my God. Outro House of Cards. Fuck. Like, you know, that song is so incredible.
Love Is Not Over and Stigma. Like just.
Oh my God. Autumn Leaves was one of my, like, Autumn Leaves was my first, like, favorite song, like, that I was playing on repeat all the time. I couldn't get enough of it. I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. Love Is Not Over is now permanently, like, one of my favorite songs ever. Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah. Going back to Autumn Leaves, that really is one of their most underrated songs. Mm. Like, listening to the Autumn Leaves Empty Arena version on YouTube, that is like, that just gives me goosebumps every time I listen to it. I just love it so, so much. Yeah. And that song, like, I really should make a video of me in the car singing to Autumn Leaves because damn, that song is just, it's just so powerful.
Yeah.
It's a slower song, but it just, the production of it is incredible.
I should make a video of Love Is Not Over because I cannot stop singing that one.
Let's make that a goal because we need to do that.
I can't do it in the car. It doesn't work. I'll just have to like sit and do it in my house.
Sit and do it.
Like, not in the car. The car
is
fun.
For you patrons. But, you know,
for you patrons, videos of us singing these songs. but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was
Slow Rabbit. Amazing.
I'm really glad that we got to cover Slow Rabbit because I've been glad to cover all of the producers, but he was one that I'm like, I really should know more about him, but I don't. Yeah. Yeah.
And we love him. We completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So moving on to Adora. This is the last producer that we're talking about. Last, but certainly, certainly not least.
Definitely not
Her
least.
Her birth name is Park Soo-yeon. We have no idea when she was born. Like, there is such little information on Adora.
Insane.
Yeah, yeah. And a little sad,
yeah.
But it's okay. We'll manage.
Right.
Some people speculate that she was born either in, like, 96 or 97. So she's fairly young.
Yeah.
The name for her studio is Adorable Traps, which I first found this out when looking at my Persona album. I was like reading through it and it said Studio Adorable Traps. I thought, oh my gosh,
that must be Adora.
I love that. Love that. So her social media accounts, we have no idea.
We really don't
know.
This
is just the truth of it. We have no idea because there are pictures of her and videos of her, et cetera, et cetera, that have been posted by like P-Dawg. And other producers within the Big Hit family. But the truth of it is like we have found multiple Instagram accounts, multiple Twitter accounts, especially Instagram, like Instagram stories that she's posted, etc. But like in terms of like the actual account name, we have no idea. So part of me gets the idea that she maybe doesn't want to be known and that she just is avoiding kind of being known by armies in terms of like her social media accounts, which is totally up to her. Like, this is why we have private versus
settings.
Public, you know, things like that. But like, it's extremely hard for her because I think she has become loved by so many armies, especially since like the recent Love Yourself Answer album and so on, really since Wings is when she's been around. But so social media, no idea, just it's whatever.
Yeah.
It's not
even
that big of a deal.
You guys, we literally just got off topic so much and spent like 10 minutes trying to be like, wait, I thought that was her Twitter. I thought that was her Instagram. It's not true.
Yeah, yeah.
The Instagram or the Twitter that I listed as a source at the top of the page was actually a fan account that I did get information about her from, but like, that's not her account. So we really,
it's just really confusing because we have pictures of her and videos of her and her singing and her with even like the Big Hit family and other producers like P-Dawg, but like, it's just confusing.
Yeah.
So whatever, we don't know her social media. I'm getting the idea that she maybe doesn't want to be known. So
for sure.
I'm just going to let it be.
Yeah.
All right, so Adora, she almost debuted as an idol, but she started working for Big Hit just around the Wings era is what we're gathering. And she is credited for producing mostly on Wings album and then getting into like Save Me era.
Mm-hmm.
Her style can be very flexible. She kind of completes the team and adapts as needed. So Supreme Boy, he's very hip hop. P-Dawg is fast paced. Lil Rabbit, of course, is slow and smooth. And then Adora comes in as this somewhat recent new producer, even though she's been around since Wings. But she's kind of provided any and all in between. Mm-hmm. And I think she was like that missing puzzle piece to the Big Hit family.
I think I love that that's why we're talking about her last. One of the many reasons why I love that we're ending on her. But she really is like that finishing piece of the producers that like they were really missing. And I think she can just fit in anywhere or like in any application that she needs to be in. And I think she's very skilled and she can work in many different elements and like genres. And as we'll talk about, she also likes to sing and she does like some backup vocals and that's really amazing also.
Like she likes going and busking in the streets with her friends. She just did that like on June 3rd, like very recent. She also recently posted a video of her covering Honey by Kalani and her voice, like we can go on and on about this because we've gotten to hear it, fortunately, in a handful of BTS songs. But her voice is just so wonderful. And we were kind of talking about how to describe it. A lot of people have described it different ways, but it's just beautiful. Yeah. We'll get into that.
I just love that cover that she did. The way that they did it, I don't know if you watched the video, but like her and her friend, like her friend was playing guitar and she was sitting there, but like their heads were cut off. So this is another thing where I'm like, she probably does want to be private because you couldn't see her face. And, but her voice was just so beautiful. And I think the name of the song, Honey, just like describes her voice in that song when she's singing it. Just loved it. But as we were kind of touching on, she features, as some backup vocals, most prominently, like what we really have heard a lot is Seesaw. She's definitely in Seesaw. Mm-hmm. She's also in 13, 43, 40, maybe like she's like the one talking during Yoongi's verse.
That's what we think.
I watched a compilation video, a few different ones of like hidden or background vocals with Adora, and that one kept coming up. So I don't know who else it would be anyways.
I don't either. So I agree.
People also kind of say like she's in the back of Serendipity, Epiphany, Daydream, which would all make really good sense because she has like this beautiful kind of like light voice that can float on top and get some of those like really higher notes, but it just perfectly lays over what they're doing. And like she harmonizes along with their rap or along with what they're singing, which is, it's really good. But overall, it is kind of hard to find the specific songs that she provides backup vocals on. And the truth is, there are just probably so many. We recently heard her on Home, in the chorus of Home. And there's this hidden vocal track that I found this tweet on Twitter. And I'm going to pull it up because I want to play it for you guys just because you can really hear her at the end. And I also think that this hidden track video in general sounds really cool. Okay. So I actually tweeted this last week when I saw it on Twitter. I said, do y'all hear Adora near the end? So I'm going to play this for you guys. It's like a 30-second video. I'm just going to hope that it works out. Here is these background vocals of this song. And listen for Adora near the end. Like, I totally, I hear her so much now that it's pointed out that, oh, Adora mm-hmm. is on this. And I'm like, wow. And it just sounds so beautiful. And yeah. it's like the perfect addition to that. Like it just, mm-hmm. it's perfect. And you know what? It also like provides a kind of a harmonization or what a melody for like us to sing along to. Cause I think regardless of us trying to or not, it kind of stands out. Like now that we know it and we hear it, like I feel like mm-hmm. we're going to pick up on it more.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Especially like going back to Seesaw, like you really can hear her in that.
Oh yeah.
And then definitely what you just played, like the hidden background vocals within, you know, Home, we really do hear her. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love that they are featuring her more in the background vocals because she does bring so much depth mm-hmm. to the song, even though she's just in, you know, the hidden vocals, those background vocals that we don't really hear unless we're truly trying to hone in on yeah. them.
And I mean, I think like we tend to not think about background vocals in the lens of K-pop like we do in Western music because like there's seven of them, right? So we think all seven mm-hmm. of them should be able to handle everything that they need to sing. But that's just not true. And every artist mm-hmm. in the United States has backup singers and backup vocals when they're touring, when they're recording. And so I just like wanted to point that out as we go over that. Mm-hmm. So I also saw a comment just to describe her voice a little bit. And I'm so sorry. I do this every time I see a comment randomly somewhere in research and it's in my mind, but I don't write it down. So it was somewhere on Twitter or Instagram or YouTube. I'm sorry. But it described her voice as having a lavender quality in Seesaw, which,
yeah.
Oh my God. When I saw that, that just really stuck out to me. And I said, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's funny about this is like when you and I were texting prior to this episode, you were just like talking about Adora and how much you love mm-hmm. her. And I was like, yes, I love her too. And blah, blah, blah. And we were just kind of texting back and forth. And I said, I saw somewhere on Twitter, someone described her voice in some sort of way, like caramelized or honeydew or something like that. And then you were like, you mean lavender? Like you were like, I saw this person who had described her voice as lavender. Yeah. And I thought, okay, caramelized honeydew aside, lavender is such a great description mm-hmm. to describe her voice because her voice is calming, mm-hmm. but powerful. And it is also very strong, mm-hmm. but relaxing and like present. Yes.
When you like, yeah. oh my God, when I texted you lavender and you texted that back to me, I was like, that is literally the best. That is the perfect description.
I love relaxing, her. But present because yes. that is lavender. Yeah. Like it's soothing, but you can smell it and it's strong. And that is really her voice. Like it has that calming, relaxing effect, but it's like, you can hear mm-hmm. it. It's there. And you notice it.
Yeah, for sure. I absolutely love that description of her voice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Getting into some of the songs that she's produced. She's helped produce Spring Day, Not Today, Best of Me, and Interlude, Outro, Wings, along with Serendipity, Intro, Ring Wanderung, 134340, So What, Magic Shop, and then she has also co-produced Hope World.
So she has like definitely a large range, like
yeah.
Not Today to Ring Wanderung to Serendipity to Hope World, like all very different. And mm-hmm. those are barely even scratching the surface of the songs that she's worked on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is totally sidebar too, but like I look at how she's more recent in terms of like the big hit family and producers. But then you look at the more recent BTS and you see how much better mm-hmm. even recent BTS is. And I think that like part of that could be contributed to Adora. Yeah. And her production and her contribution to their music.
I wonder if they were like, look at our fan base. Let's bring in
yeah.
someone representative of our fan base to make music.
Fucking yeah.
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 So I really...
It's a smart move.
Yeah, I mean, they... Again, it's a business and that's a yeah. really smart move.
Yeah.
I just really want to talk about as we've stated, we love her. We have fallen in love with Adora. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about how much of a badass she is just by putting what she does in a little bit of context. So this is from the research from the Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, which is a global think tank for representation in music and media. And they said 73.8% of female songwriters only worked once in 6 years, 7.9% worked two times, and 4.3% worked three times in 6 years. Less than 6% of female songwriters had six or more credits across the sampled time frame. That is insane to me.
Wow. To think that only like less than 3/4 of female songwriters have worked once in 6 years. Mm-hmm. Once.
Yeah.
And that it just drastically cuts from there.
Yeah. That's
drastically.
That's crazy to me. Or I mean, even if you're looking at this is a span of 6 years. So if you're thinking one song a year, because less than 6% had six or more credits. So maybe you had one song a year. Maybe you had a year with one or two or three, but that's less than 6% of female songwriters. And Adora is existing in this industry.
Adora has produced about 20 songs over the past 3 or 4 years since working with Big Hit Entertainment. And in a country rated lowest for friendliness of women in the workplace due to the low numbers of women in high positions.
God. I mean, another thing that she's up against. And there's like, I read
20 songs in 4 years. Songs. Like looking at those statistics, that seems impossible.
It's crazy.
Impossible.
I went through and I found a few different like lists of songs that she's credited for working on, for either producing or singing on. And it is quite a lot. She has produced on so many songs, and really just from being with Big Hit with, you know, like Wings era. It's crazy to me.
Wow.
You know, she is also most likely working for less money than her male counterparts at Big Hit Entertainment, as the gender wage gap in Korea can result in men earning 33.6% to 46.9% more than women in the same role. Almost, you know, that's crazy.
This is what
almost
infuriates 50, me.
You could almost
this infuriates me.
50% more on the high end. Although I will say that those numbers are like 18 years old, like when the last census about it was taken.
Oh, really?
So more recent numbers, but they're not like official numbers, have leaned towards the lower end of that scale, like more around like 35, but still
percentage has gone down, but still that's still significant.
35% more. Mm. You know, that's very significant.
I'm angry about just the fact that in my profession, I know that males are paid more.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, why?
I'm over here mad about like women making 77 cents on the dollar that men make in the States. And I'm not thinking about somebody making 35% more than me just because of, just because of
gender.
Yeah. And we're working in the same industry. So Adora is out here working her ass off.
Stupid.
And killing the game. Producing all these songs and singing backup vocals and just being adorable and amazing and incredible.
Yeah. So this is just another like kind of tidbit about gender inequality and like the workplace and stuff. But in their 2013 paper, Patterson and Walcott found that gender inequality in the workplace stems from, quote, a lack of legal enforcement, a weak punishment system, a tactic acceptance of the status quo of women, organizational cultural issues stemming from the traditional Korean mindset that allow gender discrimination, and a general lack of knowledge about equal opportunity regulations by many companies.
So it's not that it's illegal. You know, it's it's not that it's legal for her to be making so much less money. Like she should be, but these policies are not very enforced in
many
companies.
She should not be making less money.
Right. She should not be. And Obviously, I mean, like, we don't know if she is, but like, this is just statistics that I found, and just the way that the world works, I think it would be silly to not think, okay, she might, like.
And also being like such a newcomer and being so young and not being associated with Big Hit or BTS
for so long.
Debut. Yeah. So I think generally just, you know, her based on experience is probably paid less as well. But yeah, I'd like to think that Big Hit Entertainment is above that and progressive and is paying her the same as the other producers, or, you know, almost as much as the other producers.
Comparable for the amount of time that she worked there.
Experience. Yeah.
But I mean,
not based on gender.
Right. Yeah. But I also want to point out like a big positive in that, like, she's kind of, really being a representation for women out there in the music industry, because especially in Korea, because as recently as 2017, 88.1% of females in Korea in the workforce were concentrated in the service industry. And I would also like to point out that this trend doesn't apply to any men in the same industry. There's no other industry made up of like 88% men only. But this is kind of important to point out because it is not common to have a producer at the level that she is producing at. And no, she doesn't have like years and years and years and years and years of experience like P-Dawg or Slow Rabbit, but like she obviously is incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely has to be for Big Hit Entertainment to have brought her on.
Oh yeah.
And to have featured her and their songs and be so involved in their production of their music. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a badass. She is a badass. We love her.
She
has a group of stans called Adorables.
I'm an adorable now. I love her. Like, there's not much about her, but I'll follow everything. Like, I just think, I just really want her to be very successful because I think she's working for it.
I think she's a role model.
And I think she deserves it.
Maybe she doesn't know it. I hope she does. Mm-hmm. But she has become a role model to a lot of ARMYs.
Yeah.
And even other, like, producers in the K-pop industry, female producers
for sure.
In the K-pop industry.
Other people who want to get into it and produce at the level that she's doing at. Like, she is that, you know, hey, somebody else is doing it, I can do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Super cool. Yeah.
Wow. All right. So that was our episode on BTS and like Big Hit producers. It was long awaited. Sorry it took us so long to finally do this episode. I mean, 70 episodes. But we finally did it, and I'm glad we finally got to it. I feel that it's very special that it was our 70th episode, because all of the Big Hit producers deserve a round of applause, because the music that we so much love and enjoy, they are all greatly contributed to these songs, and without them, they wouldn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better. it's just so true, and we have so much to thank them for, and for working alongside BTS and helping their vision of what they want to make and the music that they want to put out come to life. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, or if you've enjoyed any of our other episodes, there's a few things you can do to let us know. Again, writing a review on iTunes or really whatever platform you listen on is huge. It means a lot to us, and it helps people find us, and it also helps us build the prospect of maybe getting sponsored one day.
Hopefully.
We really just have to thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts for all of the support and the kind reviews that we've gotten. And you know, we also would love to hear from you. So you can let us know what you think about this episode, if you have any other information or cool tidbits that you want to share, or, you know, what you think about any of our previous episodes. Reach out to us on email or on social media, and you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.